Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We are a few, very selected group. So we're going to make the best of it, right? Some of our members are in a neighbor church. Provide them with special music with a choir. And so some of them are worshiping in a different place. But we'll make the best of this opportunity that the Lord has given us to worship. Last week, we started the talk on the covenant. The title last week, if you remember, was A Covenant. This week, The Covenant. And you'll see the difference between A Covenant, those of you who already know your grammar, A Covenant, and The Covenant, right? So the reason why we talked last week about A Covenant is because there is this misunderstanding that the Bible has a lot of covenants. And so we covered this last week, and this week we will show to you the Bible has only one covenant. There was always only one covenant, and there always will be one covenant, because there is one God, and there is one to be redeemed, which is you. So I'm here today to talk about you, your redemption, and His covenant with you and with myself also, okay? Today is a blessed Abba's Day, so happy Abba's Day to all of you, okay? The covenant. You know the stamp? You know, that is, there is a cross there. It's when you push there, there is stamp. That's what I put the blood on the bottom, just to emphasize that in order for us to have a covenant, a price has to be paid because somebody broke the covenant. This week we add you can see here, on the bottom here, the Ten Commandments. That is over there in the screen. And we put the Bible there. The question is, can you keep a covenant? Ask yourself this question. Can I keep a covenant? Do you know when you get a drive license, that is a contract? Did you realize that when you sign in to get a drive license, actually you sign a contract? When you rent a home, you sign a contract. When you get married, you sign a contract. That's that license. It's a contract. And if you realize, all your life is measured by contracts. Even the little ones. Miles, you have no idea, but you have a contract. When we are born in this life, we are born into a contract, a covenant. Why we are obeying our parents, supposedly we do, because there is a contract. You get obedience from your children, you provide to your children the needs that they have. It's basically a picture of what is going on with us and God. We give God obedience, and God give us provisions. God provides us with everything. It's the same picture in a family circle, okay? So that's what we want for you to look. The question is, what is a covenant? A solemn agreement between human beings or between God and a human being in which mutual commitments are made. And the word mutual. In a contract to be good, both parties get equal benefits but also equal responsibilities. Okay? That's what a good contract is all about. Between parties. Definition, I had five or six last time. This time I shortened it to four. An agreement, a contract, a testament, a will. So please pay attention to the words testament and will, because we will be using that a little bit more today. Now, what is a testament? A solemn, authentic instrument in writing by which a person declares his will. That's what a testament is. Now, the word testament that we use, it comes from Latin testamentum. Okay? It is used in the first portion of the Bible 285 times, and the second portion of the Bible 33 times. You notice that I'm saying first portion of the Bible, second portion of the Bible, because I do not believe, and I'll tell you why, we should even use the word Old Testament, because that one was put on our versions of the Bible, it was the intent to say not relevant anymore. That was the intent. The Bible, the whole Bible, is a story of the covenant. One name that would be very appropriate for the Bible, it could very easily fit the book of the covenant, or just the word covenant. It will symbolize what the Bible is all about. There are two words that you can use, and you can tell the whole story about the Bible. One of them is life, because the Bible is all about life. From cover to cover, it's all about life. And another one is covenant, which means how to preserve the life. Okay? Life was given, and life will be redeemed. A covenant has a specific benefits or blessings, the terms, but also has the consequence. Every contract tells you, if you abide by this contract, you're going to get this benefits. If you don't, you're going to get this penalty, consequence. Every contract has that. Have you noticed that sometimes we hire a lawyer to write a contract? That after they write a contract, we ourselves cannot understand the contract, so we have to hire the lawyer again to explain to us what he wrote or she wrote. And that's the way we have today. Today we have so many complications. But thank God, God's will is very simple. You don't need to hire a lawyer to understand God's will. And that's as simple as it can be. Main covenants in the Hebrew Bible. Of course, we mentioned this last week. Adam, and this time it was Adam. I mean, both of them were called Adam. Eve became Eve after she gave birth to the first son. Okay, so in the beginning they were both Adam, because God called them Adam. So you notice there, right on there, by the way, those of you who wants to know where, is just Genesis 5 verse 2, it says, and God called them Adam. Okay, if you have a King James version. And so the covenant was not mentioned, but is implied. Let's see. First covenant, first aspect of covenant that appears in the Bible is marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. So marriage was the first. God created both of them, and immediately they were married. It says love at first sight. And sometimes when we don't have all the options, it makes the process easier, right? They didn't have a lot. This is it. Bones on my bones. And that were marriage. And lasted 930 years. I was hoping to win a good amen. 930 years married. By the way, marriage is a covenant established by God, not by the state of California, not by the Supreme Court. Marriage, it is a covenant established by God. Caesar has always interfered with the things that God has created. But please, you, the child of God, cannot be confused. Only God defines what marriage is. Only God. And God is a covenant established by God. I mean, a marriage. Marriage is a covenant established by God. Please don't forget this. Now, I have used this, and I like this graph so much that I keep using it again. What does it say? We have no business in being married to somebody who does not believe the way we believe. That's what it is. By the way, if you have married somebody that is not, we pray for you. You know, that's all we can do. But if you have not taken that step yet, be wise, follow God's advice. You know, if you take half of a pear and half of an apple and you staple them together, you're not going to get a fruit. You're going to get two pieces of fruit, but not a whole fruit. It won't become, no matter how close their taste, they would not taste the same because it's not. But worse, imagine if you add a lime with a pear. What do you get? This pear. 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 17, it says clearly, do not. What they say? Do not. What they say? Do not. Say it again. Do not. Say it again. Do not. I hope it's there. Do not get yourself messed up with somebody who does not believe. And you may say, Pastor, as you say this because you are a pastor, you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you're talking about yourselves. No. It's about the other person too. Because believe me, a person who does not believe in the Bible will have a very terrible time marrying to you. You're not going to be fun. Here comes the Sabbath. They want to watch their games. They want to go to the beach. And here this believer doesn't go anywhere, cannot do anything, don't eat anything, doesn't eat this, doesn't eat that. You're going to make that person's life miserable. So give yourself and give the wonderful gift to the other person. Do not hold the other person hostage because they don't believe the way you believe. So it will be bad for you and it will be even worse for the other person. God said there is no communion between light and darkness. So that is clear. Now another covenant you see on the Bible is found in Genesis 2 verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God has created and made. Now, this is another covenant the Bible talks about. Remember Abba every day of your life. Basically, that's what he's saying. He created both of them and told them, let me make a covenant. You should never forget me because I will never forget you. So I want you every week to spend a special time remembering me so that you know who you are. Every single week. So this is a covenant between the father and his kids. It's a family covenant. So he says, remember. It's beautiful to hear that sound. A covenant established by God. Established by whom? Who established the Abba's day? Abba did. And so there's no business of Saturday. It was not Saturn. It was Abba. Okay? Don't forget. And then they messed up. They broke the covenant. And right after they broke the covenant, they realized they were naked. So what they did, they went to get some leaves. And now I know what they say, leave alone. Now Adam and his descendants needed to be redeemed. Now they realize, oops, we broke the covenant. We need somebody to fix it. They couldn't. That's the way they dressed. You can tell that they couldn't. So God created clothing for them. And God promised to them that it will be, redemption will come. The same chapter 3, we find that the covenant was broken by human choice. Reparation was made possible by God's design. So God made sure that the provision was there. In Genesis 3:15, we find the first messianic promise in the Bible. It says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. That between you means the serpent and the woman. And between your seed, all the messed up people, evil people, and her seed. And by the way, her seed here is a reference to Christ, but is also a reference to you. Did you know that? I don't know if you haven't heard that application, but I have another text here that will show that application. It refers to Christ, but also to everyone who follows Christ, who imitates Christ. Conditions of the covenant. For the wages of sin is what? Death. So death was necessary in order to pay. Because somebody broke the covenant, now somebody has to pay the penalty. But the gift of God is that payment, so that you can have back the life that you lost. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen for that. Here comes the wages. By the way, Satan are never late with a payment. You know, some other people you may work for them, and it may take 1 week, 2 weeks, and oh, it's on the mail, and they can get it. But Satan is there on time. Sometimes he wants to pay you even before you have earned. But he always pay you if you work for him. It's a guaranteed pay. And by the way, he offers you increase in raise. He offer you a raise even without you asking. Yes, don't work for him because his wages are terrible. Main covenants in the Hebrew Bible, Noah. Brother, that was good, very good, very, that was a good message. You can even take that, put some text, and preach for the whole, all the kids. A covenant. It says here that Noah, but I will establish my covenant with you. He's talking about here, again, about the seed, about life that needs to be recovered. Okay, that's what he's talking about. You know the name Noah, his name means rest, all right? And so, sin have invaded earth. The Bible used the expression, it filled the earth completely. So it says that God came and reminded Noah, I have made a covenant with Adam. The covenant still stand. And I'm going to just repeat it to you. There is a covenant. So destruction came over the earth. The intent of destruction was to erase human race. But God said, no, the seed needs to be saved. And so God put the seed inside of the ark. That's what it was. Noah was carrying the seed, the Messiah. Because the ark was about you and I. It was a provision that God has promised. The animals that go in, got all in, you know, two by twos, and here are the wages. Now, we know that our innocent people perish on the flood too. Some people don't realize that, yes, because there were children there too. There were babies. They all perish. So the intent of destruction was to eliminate the whole entire race. But God saved the seed so that all those that went innocently to the grave will be have an opportunity to eternal life. And the rain was on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And everything was destroyed. It says here, every living thing on the face of the earth was what? Was destroyed. And then, the sun came up. By the way, this sun is S-U-N. But in the last day it says, and the sun will come up. Yes, when everything will be dark, the sun will come up. And the sun came up. And do you know what else you notice there? A sign of a covenant. Right there on the sky. Now, this is what it says. The rainbow, did you know the rainbow have 7 colors? Interesting, right? 7. Red, orange, yellow, for those of you who want to know, there are the colors. And I even put in the color so that you, if some of you know, what is the name of that color? So it's all there on the screen. This is something that I did not know. I took for granted, I did not know. I don't know how many of you know this. It says, you can only see a rainbow if the rain is in front of you. and if the sun is shining on your back. Now, use the change the sun of there for S-O-N. It says if when the storms are in front of you, but the sun is behind you, there'll be a rainbow. Everything will be okay. And that is a sign. But then, we don't learn, don't we? Do you know what this is? Today they call it Empire State Building. No, no. So this is a symbol of humans. I like the Titanic thing there was. It's human beings try to say, you know, God said that if this happens, this may happen. So they decide to forget God's covenant, and they decide to, let's provide a means so that if this does happen again, this time we're not going to be caught by surprise. We're going to have these two towers, very high, when people from all over the world will come in and do business and everything else, and we will be so solid that nothing will destroy. And here comes two airplanes, and there you go. Human beings never learn, don't we? We build a ship that we say nothing, not even God can sink this ship. One tiny little ice and destroyed. They have never learned that they keep doing this today. Have you noticed now you go on internet, there is a competition around the world. Who builds the tallest building? And they put the thing so high, and they take an elevator like almost like a rocket to travel all that thing. Why? It's all the same arrogance. Is defiance. That's all there is. Defiance. They try to say, we don't need God. We can build, we can protect, we can provide, we can do all things by ourselves. And that's why they keep doing this. Later on, you know, we have other aspects of covenant, but one that the Bible mentions a lot is God talked to Abraham. First Abram, then Abraham. And the lesson that we find with the key element of this story is God will provide. Do you notice something in common between this and the Sabbath? Why do we need to remember that Abba is the creator? God will provide. What was the God was telling Noah now that the whole earth was devastated? God will provide. You can participate if you want, okay? If you know where I'm going, you can come with me. It says, God will provide. So in every aspect, when a young man leaves his home and choose a young bride to get married, and there is, I don't know, how many of you here are married? Okay, let me see the hand of the man only. Lady, let me see the man. Okay, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you went through the same stress that I went when I was about to get married. My question, the first thing question came to my mind is, how am I going to be able to provide? Did anybody here share the same concern? You know, unless you were born in a family that even before you were born, you had an account that is so big that you have a bank or something in your name. But the first thing that comes to our mind, how am I going to be providing for my family? That was the first thing. Even before I found the lady that to share that journey with me, my concern was, how am I going to be able to provide? What am I going to do in this life? That is the goes in the mind of a person who is about to get married. But the answer is, God will provide. But young ladies, if you go date a young man that doesn't go to school, doesn't get a job, doesn't do anything, and he tells you God will provide, he says, you tell him God will provide you another one too. And walk away from there, because don't let anybody deceive you in that one, okay? Now, the Bible does talk about the new and renew covenant, which is the same covenant. Let me show you how. Here in Jeremiah, it says like this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." And you notice that this is not new. It's exactly the same. It's just an expression. But it's the same covenant, because it says like this, "with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." That's Jeremiah 31:31. If you can read it, 32 also. But I have here 33. It says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put" what? "I will put my law in their minds." How can God put the law in their minds if the law is already there? How can God make a new covenant if the covenant is already there? So it is an expression. It's like the Lord says, "I'm going to wake you up and show you what is already in you. I want to make you aware who you are. I'll give you the text, don't worry. And write in it on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they will be my people." When do we become God's people? Before we are even conceived. Every one of you were planned by God. In His mind, you already existed in His mind even before your parents even met each other. That's why abortion is not abortion. That's why abortion is a murder. Because that individual has been planned by God. So, the Bible says, "I knew all your days, even before you were formed." Jeremiah 31:33. Now, here's another text. "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature..." Now, you put those two together, you realize what the Bible is saying. All of us have the Bible already inside of us the moment that we are born. And then it says this, "who show the work of the law written in their hearts." Remember it says, "and I will write the law of their mind." It's already there. Well, all that God is saying is that I want to make you aware who you are and what is already inside of you. I already gave you all the instruments for you to keep the covenant. So when God made the covenant, He stamped the covenant inside of us as a sign of ownership, because we are His. That's why their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or excusing them. So the new covenant is actually the same covenant. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my covenant." Yes, literally, that's what he's saying. If you love me, keep the covenant that we have established the moment, even before you were born, that covenant. If you love me, keep that commandment. If you love your father, keep his commandment. If you keep my covenant, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my father's commitment, covenant, and I abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. And it continues, "do not think that I came." By the way, if you go to some church that call themselves Christians, you hear from the pulpit, they saying, "we have no more laws." Anybody here ever heard that before? Everything was nailed to the cross. Jesus came and changed. So we have an Old Testament and we have a New Testament. I'm the people of the New Testament. I'm no longer the people of the Old Testament. And the devil has deceived them so badly, made them convinced that there is two things. There is a God from there and there is a God here. And this God here does not get along with that, even though this God here says, "that's my Father. And my Father and I are one." They bypass all those texts. It's like those texts don't even exist. So Jesus, to make it clear, that the Father and Him are just one. He says the covenant is the same. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Why did Jesus did not come to destroy the law? Because if He could destroy the law, He didn't even have to come. There will be no death in this earth. Jesus came and died because He couldn't change the law. The price needs to be paid. I did not come to destroy, but I came because I was promised. If you want to go back, go to Genesis 3:15. That is the first promise that it mentions. The seed. I am that seed that was promised. Matthew 5 verse 17. What do you see in this picture, brothers and sisters? Somebody who does not like to obey authority. Some of us can all relate to this, because you look at the picture, you think, oh, this is about that church or that church. This is about us. Sometimes we have a hard time respecting authority. Sometimes we criticize authority without even realizing that the reason why we're criticizing is because we despise authority. And what makes us despise authority sometimes is our big ego. The serpent has been working since creation. The serpent has always motivated us to strike against God's law, to break the covenant. I hope you are not one of them that is stepping on God's law with a rebellious attitude, because remember, the covenant is established by God. You cannot have God and not keep the covenant. In John 3:16, it tells something that all of us know. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His only Son, so that we who choose to believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He has to make a covenant with the world. He has to pay the price so the covenant could be reestablished, so that a life can be preserved. Jesus paid it all. But let me make a little note here. You go to another church down the street, you may hear, Jesus paid it all. Therefore, now we are free to do whatever we want. No one is free to become a slave. Some people say, God paid my freedom so I can become a slave of my sins. God paid the price so that you may be free, not to become a slave. Jesus paid it all so that He can call you His child. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. That's Hebrews 7:22. Can you see this picture well? Do you see a multitude that they are coming with Jesus there? I don't know if you can see, but your guardian angel is one of them. He is coming for you, kid. He wants to take you home. The Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so also be the coming of the Son of Man. What was wrong in the days of Noah? Everybody forgot the covenant. They were all doing their own business. And destruction came. For whoever shall keep the whole law, but yet stumble in one, becomes guilty of them all. James 2 verse 10. What do you see in this picture? It is too crowded. There's too many things there, right? You see a woman holding a baby? That's the seed. You see a group of people standing on a hill, looking upwards, looking for the promised seed that is to come. That is the seed. Behind them, there is the wheel. The other side is a symbol of God's church. The bride is standing on the word of God. Behind is the world. And the last message is the three angels' message. That's the entire picture. The woman and the seed. That is the picture that is 100% relate to you if you are a Seventh-day Adventist. That is the picture that covers everything that we are as a Seventh-day Adventist. The three angels' message. The pure woman. The woman who gave birth to the seed. And the seed waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return. The remnant. Do you know what the word remnant means? I went to a pastor's meeting quite a few years ago. And this was all pastors from the entire Pacific Union. And they chose one particular pastor to preach. Unfortunately, that pastor preached a sermon saying, "We are not the remnant." I was shocked out of my shoes. I couldn't believe that I was hearing what I saw. I decided to pay attention. I said, maybe this is just a shocking thing. And then later on, they will explain what it means. And the person kept saying, "We are not the remnant. We are not the remnant." And closed the message by saying, "We are not the remnant." I could not believe. So please don't be surprised, because you will find people standing on the pulpits, on Seventh-day Adventist pulpits, preaching things that has nothing to do with the Bible, and those things do happen. So please don't be naive. Don't give your mind to everyone just because a person has a label saying that, "Oh, we are one of you." So be careful, okay? And Jesus Christ told us, if you hear this, don't go. Pay close attention to what you hear. The woman and her seed. We are Seventh-day Adventists because we are waiting for the Lord to come and take us home. Amen? We are the woman who keeps herself clean. She is not Babylon, and she is not one of the daughters of Babylon. So when somebody asks you, "Are you a Protestant?" Don't tell people, "I am." Because when you say to people that you are Protestant, it means you are coming out of Babylon. No, you're not coming out of Babylon. You have nothing to do with Babylon at all. We haven't been there. We are not part of it. We are God's people. By the way, I belong to a church that is started in paradise. And it's a church that will continue to be in paradise when the Lord comes. Adam was a Seventh-day Adventist. Jesus was a Seventh-day Adventist. John the Baptizer, he was a Seventh-day Adventist, not Baptist, the Seventh-day Adventist. Paul, John, all the apostles, all Seventh-day Adventists, they had the same hope that I have. They had the same church that I have. The head of their church was the same head of my church. Therefore, the Seventh-day Adventist church have started from the beginning. And will have no end, because we are the remnant of God's church. The remnant. But there is somebody very mad against the remnant, right? We are thorn in their skin. They don't like us. And if you have any doubt, you can go on YouTube, look at a Baptist that became Seventh-day Adventist. You look there, you hear a pastor saying, "We used to hate you guys." And he says, "Just because you dare to be different. You keep this law thing telling us all the time, make us so uncomfortable because we don't keep the law." And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Angry, okay? Angry, mad with the woman. And went to make war with the seed. See the application, the seed. We are the seed, the remnant of the seed. We are the seed. Now I put the dragon facing towards the seed, away from the womb, but towards the seed, because the seed is the woman here in this case. What is the remnant doing? Which keep the commandments of God. Do you know the way you should read this? It says, and the dragon was very angry at the woman and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the covenant of God and have the witness, the testimony of Jesus Christ, Abba. War against those who keep God's covenant. Nothing new there. It started in the Garden of Eden. It's going to go into the end. I like this picture so much. I like this picture that I haven't visualized myself standing there and there looking. Down there, everything is on fire. Destruction. Up there is hope that is coming. And on the hills, if you could see this picture very close, you see that they all have a joyful smile on their face. There's no fear. They know that the best yet to come is coming. And here he is. All those years I wait for this moment, and now it is here. The remnant is joyful. Here is the patience of those that awaited. Here are those who kept the covenant of God and has faith of Jesus, and a faith of Jesus, a faith that Jesus is the only one can grant us. The remnant of her seed, which keep the covenant of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, all of us have a road before us. The question is, where are you going? Can you keep a covenant as you travel during that road? If you keep the covenant, the road ahead is going to give you eternal life. But if you don't, it's going to be all turning to darkness. One last covenant that I'd like to talk to you about is the covenant of baptism. How many of you here have been baptized according to the biblical way to be baptized, your baptism of the biblical baptism? Okay? Thank you. Those of you that have not yet, don't take too long. And those of you that have been baptized and went back to your old habits, you may need to, like Jesus told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. If that's your case, come and talk to me this afternoon. We can make some preparations for that to take place. Dead to sin. And what else? Dead to sin. What else? Dead to sin. What else? Baptism does not wash your sins away. Baptism is just a symbol that the Holy Spirit already working on you is the blood of Christ who washes your sins away. The water is just a symbol. It's just a grave, like you're going to the grave and you come out of the grave. That's what his symbolism is all about. What do you see in this picture? Jesus working for you and for myself. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. But in case that we do sin, we don't give up. Why? Because we have an advocate before the Father. And he is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. 1 John 2 verse 1. I go and I'm going to prepare your place. I heard during the Sabbath school lesson, somebody asking about the investigative judgment. Jesus Christ in this moment, he is interceding, he's collecting the names of the chosen ones. When that number finally comes to a conclusion, because we know there is a number, in God's mind there is a number. How do I know? Because when he said to Adam and his wife, Eve, he said, multiply and fill the earth. So there is a number there to fill the earth. When that number is reached, God knows, only God knows that number, we will hear Jesus Christ saying, "It is finished." When the selected, when the number, God knows the number, we don't. I like the parable when it says, go out, find somebody else, because there is still room until every single room is filled. When the Lord comes, He comes to take us home. John 14 verse 3, it says, "And will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Eternal life is the next exit. Are you turned that way? I hope you don't turn, you skip. I don't know, sometimes people are driving and they know where they want to go, but they get distracted. They put something on the radio or CD or their whatever iPad, or I hope you don't do that, because now it's illegal. If they catch you holding one, even your phone, you get a ticket. But people get distracted. Sometimes distracted by the people inside of their car, beside. Sometimes even the road they get distracted. And they miss. Have it happened to you before? We are driving somewhere and we missed. You have to go now, I have to go around. And so don't miss this exit. My brothers and sisters, Jesus' invitation for you today is come to me. All of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you a Sabbath, a rest. Let's stand and sing together. When we all get to heaven, have you planned what you're going to do when you get to heaven? You start planning. Start planning. I have a plan. I want to see you in the right side of the tree of life. That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven. I go and say, I'm going to ask my angel, where's the tree of life? He says, right there. So let me go, because I have a special group of people that I want to see there. And I hope to see you there, right? I saw one brother said like this, good brother, I want to see you there too. Let's sing together, When We All Get to Heaven.